We have toiled all the night and have caught nothing. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 160. It is May 19, 2015. Today, Oswald J. Smith's The Revival We Need. We're in chapter 8. It's called Heart Yearnings for Revival. It was in the years 1917 and 1918 that the yearnings for revival expressed in these messages in this book were born of God. Nothing of a spectacular nature took place, for the work was of a wholly local character, nor did it seem to reach full fruition at the time. It was, however, a wonderful personal preparation for the ministry that was to follow. Nor will the experiences of those days ever be forgotten. Perhaps the most profitable way to tell the story will be to simply quote from my diary, which was kept day by day at the time. Space forbids a full account. It's only possible to select portions here and there, but these, I believe, will be sufficient to stir up a spirit of revival and thus glorify God. August 16. It must come, the revival for which I have prayed so long. How God melted me this morning. How sweet is prayer. Praise His name. Oh, for Holy Spirit conviction and Holy Spirit fruit. Only that will stand the test of time and eternity. God has stirred my heart in an unusual way. How unspeakably precious He is. Oh, for conviction, old-fashioned conviction of sin. Thanks be to God for these wonderful books, how they have helped me. My preaching has been revolutionized. I've been reading them hour after hour. I never got hold of anything like them in my life before. Now, as I read these books to you, friends, I hope you will copy them down. Try to look them up and see if they're still available. First, An Alarm to Unconverted Sinners by Joseph Allain, A-L-L-E-I-N-E. Next, The Anxious Inquirer After Salvation by John Angel James. And A Call to the Unconverted by Richard Baxter. These are the books. How clear and definite their message on sin, salvation, heaven, and hell. Yet I realize that even these truths may be proclaimed without results unless there is the power of the Spirit. He must convict, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And this is perhaps the secret of failure. Truth is preached most earnestly and faithfully, but nothing happens. What's the matter? No power. During my intercession this morning, I read a few chapters from Memoirs of John Smith by Richard Treffry, and it drove me to prayer. For some time, God gave wonderful liberty, perhaps an hour, possibly less, I don't know, for I was entirely unconscious of time. And first, He led me to confession. Oh, how I have failed in prayer, for I have spent minutes when I ought to have spent hours. Failed in Bible study, for I have not pored over the sacred pages as I ought. Failed in time, for I have allowed Satan to fill my life with other things, and thus crowd God out. Failed in service, for I have not given out gospel tracts to the unsaved, nor spoken to them personally about their souls, nor preached on the street corners to the hundreds who do not attend church. Oh, I have failed miserably. Miserably failed. And I long to be true and faithful. I plead for souls, yet my eyes do not weep, as His did. But glory be to God, I believe He's leading me into a deeper experience, where I will count all things but loss for Christ, where I will suffer, sacrifice, pray, study, and serve as never before, where there will be but one thing in my life, thus the revival for which I long will come. He will pour forth His Spirit. Souls will be convicted and saved. May God hear and graciously answer. I must not fail again. God, help me to press on and on and on. August 25. In my reading this morning, my attention was specially drawn to the following verse. Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man. Oh, the power of a holy life! Wicked men fear and tremble in the presence of holiness. May God make this an incentive to me. I'm reading the New Testament through rapidly for the purpose of selecting those truths which will bring conviction when preached in Holy Spirit power. God is giving searching messages on sin, salvation, heaven, and hell. I spent an hour in prayer and I had sweet fellowship. May He lead me on. I want to know and experience more. Never will I be satisfied until God works in convicting power and men and women weep their way to the cross. August 26. His message to me this morning was, all things are possible to him that believes, and this kind can come out by nothing save by prayer. Prayer and faith are both necessary for results, and thus the power of Satan will be broken in the hearts of men and Holy Spirit fruit produced. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Gathered three into my study this evening. Expected others, but they did not come. Talked to them for about an hour. Found much sympathy and willingness to cooperate, but almost entire ignorance as to Holy Spirit fruit and the outpouring of God's Spirit. Decided to meet again, along with others, to talk it over that we may pray intelligently. Came home rejoicing, for I firmly believe that God will move upon the hearts of the people in answer to prevailing prayer. August 31. 8 gathered in the church study tonight, and we talked and prayed until after 10. Much prayer had been offered that His Spirit might open their eyes and let them see the need and feel the responsibility. If God has chosen them, they will stand with me. If not, I will have to go on alone. We have decided to hold cottage prayer meetings, one each week to begin with. In closing, I gave them this verse over which we prayed. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. September 2. Preached tonight on why you should be saved. Had liberty and a little power. People at great tension. Much prayer, but searched the faces in vain for signs of soul anguish and distress. Eyes dry. No outward token of conviction. Surely I am not yet endued with power from on high. If so, there would be Holy Spirit fruit. September 7. We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. But when they let down their nets, under divine leadership, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Has this been my experience, or do I labor in the flesh instead of in the spirit? Truly I have toiled all the night, and I've taken nothing. If men do not tremble and go away distressed and broken, it is my fault. I must take the blame. When I agonize and travail over souls, there will be results. But not before. Then to my knees and on my face until the power comes and God can manifest Himself. Prayed nearly all afternoon, but not much freedom. The heavens are like brass. September 9. That we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Acts 6:4. Once again it must be that I have preached in the flesh and not in the spirit. Had much liberty and power, and felt that there was considerable conviction. The people listened most attentively, and there was a great deal of discussion afterwards, yet nothing happened. None were broken. No distress manifested. No soul anguish. No tears. Oh, for God's power! He has chosen me that I should bring forth fruit. Fruit that will remain and stand the test of time and eternity, yet I am not doing it. there's but little fruit. However, it sends me to my knees. There must still be hours of waiting upon God. The price has to be paid. And when the Spirit comes upon me and fills me, I will know it by the evidence of Holy Spirit fruit. Short of this, I dare not rest. September 10. Glory be to God. There has been a move at last. It occurred in the cottage prayer meeting tonight. The service at first was cold and the people unresponsive. I spoke on prevailing prayer, concluded and closed, but no sooner was the meeting over than a woman suddenly cried out, "Pray for me." A church member and the rest was drowned in a flood of tears, great mighty sobs that shook her whole body. There was no let-up, nor could we speak. She sobbed and sobbed as though her heart would break. Down we went on our knees and prayed one after another. Then we sang "Just As I Am," and in about 15 or 20 minutes, she came through, gloriously saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, how our hearts thrilled with joy. Scarcely could we speak. All the way home in the streetcar, I could hardly contain myself. Only two meetings, and God had come. Prayer was answered. The Holy Spirit had commenced to work. For one soul, at least, had been broken up. A church member, unsaved. I wonder how many others are in a like condition. September 12. God is surely working. Another young woman who had been convicted got up tonight and testified that she was saved yesterday at her work and received full assurance this morning. Praise God. He has again answered prayer. She says she has done almost nothing else but pray all week. So now we have two brought in through the power of God alone. It is for this I have been burdened, the coming of the Holy Spirit in such mighty, convicting power that souls would cry out for mercy without even an invitation. God has set his seal and honored his truth. Lord, keep me humble. Teach me thy will. September 16. Spoke tonight and had unusual liberty and power. People listened intently. Many eyes were filled with tears, but there was no break. However, I am convinced that God is preparing his servants, that he will yet manifest his power in the conversion of others. It only means that I must spend many more hours in prayer this week than last. September 18. Powerful cottage prayer meeting. House full, prayer fervent, many hungry for God. Meeting continued until nearly 10 o'clock, yet no visible sign. I must experience God's power, no matter what it costs. Oh, that he would break me down and cause me to weep for the salvation of souls. September 19. Another break tonight. A backslider tried to pray in the meeting, but immediately broke down and wept out her confession. She continued to pray in broken syllables, weeping at the same time. Thank God for this, but oh, for an intensified effect. I'm still far from satisfied. Another who's had a terrible struggle asked me tonight if she must confess having stolen something. So God is working. September 21. Received a letter this morning from one in great distress and went to see her at once. Found her weeping in anguish of spirit. After prayer, God wonderfully met her, and it was good to see the glow of joy in her eyes when leaving. God is surely working with her. Praise his name. More and more I feel the need of prayer. September 22. Have just finished reading Glimpses of Life in Soul Winning by James Caughey. That's Caughey. Oh, what passion, what devotion and wholehearted earnestness, and what a record of souls saved. Months of battling in prayer and then the victory. I do not believe that there is power enough on earth or in hell to prevent a revival if I am willing to pay the price. September 23. After service this morning, a lady came to me and said she wanted to become a Christian. We talked and prayed together. She left with a hope, but I want to wait and see. Do not know yet whether it's the Holy Spirit fruit or not.
I'm going to stop right there. I notice that chapter 9 just continues on like chapter 8, telling event after event that led to the great things in his life. And that's how the rest of the book is, in fact. So we'll go our 15 minutes every day, and then we'll stop and just pick up with that date the next day. Oh, this is wonderful, isn't it? September 24 will be tomorrow. This is the revival we need, too, not just the one that he needed. Are you listening? These very things that this man is going through in the book, I am going through now. God has got me in a place very, very similar to him. Very little fruit in my life. Very little product of what I want to see happen, but I haven't prayed the price, and I've been joining Oswald Smith now in that pattern that he's talking about. And I ask you to pray for me also. Don't forget. Well, tomorrow we continue Oswald J. Smith. And, okay, we'll just let it go at that. Luke 5:5 is where we began today, though. We have toiled all the night and have caught nothing. But you know the rest of that story. Let that be the rest of our story, too. Amen.